welcome your ears to Total Men's Primary Care at 2611 Tremere Road in Killeen for episode number 288 of the Triple Option with RBKD on the horn. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, just how good can Texas basketball be in 2021? The worst steroid excuse in sports history? And what did Chris Del Conte have to say about the recent successes of the UT Athletic Department? Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona Kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. I want to thank the good folks here at Total Men's for having us out. I got to say, the drive to Killeen, it's a lot more enjoyable. I mean, it really was.
Cathartic.
Yeah, it was scenic to a certain extent. There was some hills, and you got to go 75 most of the way.
Yeah, I love that.
That was pretty good. And it's Tupac's birthday, so I just listened to Tupac all the way down. So, you know what? Shout out to Total Men's. Got a chance to get to know Tupac again, and I got a chance to have like a very picturesque drive down.
Yeah, really? That's why Total Men's Primary Care had us out today. They knew it was Tupac's 50th birthday, so they wanted to give us all a little bit of extra time to listen to Pac in the car.
He is the GOAT.
On our commute
he
today.
He is the GOAT for a reason.
Absolutely. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. It's weird to say at a doctor's office. Yeah. He knows where your IT guys.
It's true.
IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
I'm doing good. Great to be out here. Done this a couple times. Drew and the crew, this is the place to go. And for all of us guys, a lot of times the timing can be an issue. Timing's not an issue here. You get in, you get out, you got snacks, you got drinks. We're good to go here.
It's so awesome.
And by the way, I'm a company man, so I thought Trey and Matthew Odom and the whole crew did a great job, so I listened to them on the way here.
There you go.
Instead of listening to Tupac, because I think we've got a really good leadoff man. No, I'm just I'm not kidding around. We do have a good leadoff man.
He's but calling maybe, you out, Rod.
I'm going to listen to some Pac on the way back. I didn't realize that.
It's Tupac's birthday, though.
I know.
I can listen to those guys anytime.
That's fair.
Tupac's birthday. That's I can fair. Listen to him, but it's only his birthday once a year. Celebrate Pac.
That's so true. You're not going to listen to Fight Night or Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on
no,
your way
I'm going to listen to Pac on the way.
Okay.
Katie's a big guy. He's a biggie guy.
Some company man he is.
He's a biggie guy.
I'm also a food nerd, so they were talking about food, so I thought I'm going to play this out right.
Oh, man. I'll be here as well. I am BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD. Rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Wednesday afternoon with us. By the way, come out and see us. We're giving away koozies. We've got stickers. We've got some Rangers gear as well. Not a great night for the Texas Rangers, but a very great night for the Houston Astros. How about Jose Altuve with a walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the 10th last night to give the Stros the win over the Rangers. But we've got some Rangers swag here to give away as well. And just come to Total Men's, man. We were talking to Drew before the show. Look, Total Men's has been all about the rapid COVID test. I've gotten a few COVID tests at Total Men's over the last years.
Me
They're
too.
Great. You're in, you're out, you get your results in minutes. It's fantastic.
We did it together. It was 5 minutes.
We were in separate rooms. We didn't use like the same nose test thing, just so the people know. I don't think that'd be a good sell for Total
just
Men's.
Behind the scenes,
people.
I requested that and we were denied.
Yes, that's because I told them I didn't want that.
They're professional.
They are very professional. So if you need a COVID test, I know my younger sister just went off to an overnight camp, and COVID tests are required for a lot of camps. So if you've got a kid, a sibling who needs a COVID test, if you still need one, come out and get one at Total Men's. But also if you just need a physical. Everyone's been cooped up in their homes for the last year plus. So if you just need your annual checkup, Total Men's Primary Care, a ton of locations all over Central Texas. If you can't get out to Killeen, just get to one of the many Total Men's Primary Cares throughout Central Texas, and they will take care of you.
How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I had a gas scare on the way here with my car, not personally.
I had one of those last night.
Yeah. I got like a bunch of people sitting around me right now, so everyone's eyebrows raised at the same time. Like, uh-oh, do we need to move?
I called that the bubble guts.
Yeah. You know, I don't know the gas station situation around here, so I was getting very low. My gauge said I had 8 miles to empty, which I don't like to do that very often. I like to fill up
way in advance. Like, as soon as the low fuel light comes on, I try to fill up. And I hit a stretch on 195 where there just weren't any gas stations for a while. And I was nervous. I didn't think I was going to make it. I thought I was going to have to call one of you guys to try to hook it up. And with like 3 miles, I think it was 3 miles left on my gauge, I finally found a gas station.
Wow.
Like just 10 minutes from me. I cut it really close.
So that's an entire Seinfeld episode about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was nervous. I was freaking out. I was sweating on my way here. The commute was not as enjoyable for me as it was for y'all. And it's my fault, right? I've got nobody to blame but myself. But I took a chance, and it nearly cost me, but we're here. We made it.
So you did have the bubble guts out of stress.
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty close, yeah.
A gas problem caused a gas problem.
Exactly, yeah. I wouldn't go in my car anytime soon.
Wow.
But now doing well. Another hot day. But the sun's out. Beautiful day in Central Texas. And excited to be here, man. Always excited to do these remote broadcasts and work with the fine folks at Total Men's Primary Care is a lot of fun. So hopefully y'all can join us throughout the show. Hopefully y'all can stop by and say hello as well. Guys, let's start with some NBA conversation because a lifetime Longhorn put on a legendary performance last night that had not only the basketball world but the entire sports world talking. Kevin Durant with one of the greatest performances in NBA playoff history. He became the first player in NBA playoff history to score at least 45 points, grab at least 15 rebounds, and dish out 10 assists. About 49, 17, and 10 for KD last night. The needed every single one of those points, rebounds, and dimes as they beat Milwaukee in Game 5, 114-108 the final. Brooklyn takes a 3-2 series lead in that best of seven. And KD, your namesake, KD absolutely got the done. He played all 48 minutes.
Yeah, nickname.
That's true. That's true.
He played jump shot. No, not at all.
I don't know about that.
Trust me, no.
Yeah, you're the first and last person to make that comparison.
Exactly. Right.
But
there's not another KD in the world that'd make that.
No. No, exactly. But Kevin Durant, just spectacular last night, and he damn near single-handedly led the Nets to a big, big victory.
That's one of the best playoff performances I've ever seen. He may be the best. You know, I'm not prisoner of the moment guy. The guy's going to come in and say, no, let's talk Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, and let's get into what the league was like back then. And I think it is more of a legitimate argument. He's one of the best scorers, if not the best scorer I've ever seen. And the fact that Harden plays, and we knew that leaving the show last night, and gives you 5 points, and it's really just all about Durant. I thought Milwaukee's going to take this thing. They're going to be up 3-2, and obviously following the game, it felt like that, and they just couldn't do anything with Durant. And you can get on Budenholzer for either not getting the ball out of his hand or not doing some things defensively to try and at least make it a little bit more difficult on him. But even when it's difficult, this guy's otherworldly. And we saw that last night. He put them on his shoulders. And for anyone questioning Kevin Durant and kind of his space in basketball history, but certainly right now, I would argue those questions before last night, and I think they're tough to try and claim today.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, on what would have been Tupac's 50th birthday, the guy who's got a Tupac tattoo. Even though he believes Biggie is better than Pac.
Hey, for the record, I know you were joking. But I think Tupac is better. So
I know. You want to set the record straight.
That.
But, yeah,
I mean,
tattoo. He did. He played basically like he had been jamming Hit 'Em Up in the pregame. he was straight balling. I mean, anything he tossed it up, it went in. So that was a performance that showed you a lot. It revealed a lot about, you know, the hearts of men. You know, Jeff Green, he was the only one that really contributed. I mean, he had, 27 points. So
told you about
those
Jeff
two
Green.
Guys, they might have been two of America's most wanted. But KD was straight balling. I mean, seemed like it was him against the world. No Kyrie, no Harden. I mean, Harden was a shell of himself. All eyes on KD, and he decided to bomb first. I mean, unceremoniously, we remember how things ended for him with Golden State.
Yep.
You know, it ended with the injury. He left. He wasn't feeling that California love. And, you know, he had to shed so many tears. But, you know, he embraced the changes. Life goes on now. He's staring at the haters through his rear view. He's got, you know, picture him rolling. That's the way it goes against all odds. Returning from, you know, could be a season rear-ending, you know, career-ending injury. And now he goes on to you know, to do great things, and that's what you expect from him. P.J. Tucker couldn't guard him. Chris Middleton couldn't guard him. I mean, he just kept asking those guys how they wanted it. Any way they wanted it, he gave it to them. It's just that simple.
I counted 14 Pac references there, Rod. Is that
counted
right?
A couple.
Tried to get to 15. Mm. Let's go.
Did you have 15? I might have missed one.
I think I had another one. Okay. I had Ambitions of a Rider in there, and I forgot about it.
Oh,
that was a good one.
That was masterfully done there,
good
sir.
Good beat.
Yeah, well done.
My bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to follow that up. I should let KD talk. I'm screwed now for the rest of the show. But Durant was spectacular, otherworldly. I mean, one of the best playoff performances that I've ever seen. One of the best anytime performances that I've ever seen. But with everything on the line, game five of a 2-2 series. And that was must-win for Brooklyn, right? You don't want to be down 3-2 going back to Milwaukee for a Game 6, especially when you don't know if Kyrie Irving's going to play and you don't know what version of James Harden you're going to get. And James Harden didn't contribute much at all for the Nets last night. So that felt like a must-win type of game. And once again, Kevin Durant did not leave the floor. He was needed for all 48 minutes last night. And I don't know if y'all saw, right after the buzzer sounded, Steve Nash gave him a huge hug. It's already becoming a meme on the internet.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
Steve Nash just has the look of, oh, thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank you so much in his eyes because he knows that was all Kevin Durant's. But on the other side of the spectrum, guys, I mean, you got to give love to KD. You got to give love to Brooklyn for what they did on both ends of the floor. By the way, they were down 17 points midway through the third quarter.
Yep.
So that made the comeback, or that made the game even more impressive, the fact that you had that comeback as a part of it. But what the hell was Milwaukee doing in the second half last night? It's a huge choke on the Bucks' part. And that's what they've become known for in recent postseasons. They're always great in the regular season, but when they get to this time of year, they come up short, and it's generally because of stuff like this. And you brought up Mike Budenholzer's name a couple of minutes ago, KD. A lot of this is on him. I mean, the Bucks were settling for way too many threes offensively when the thing that got them that lead was being aggressive, driving to the paint. I mean, the Nets have no answer. Nobody has any answer for Giannis down low. And that's how the Bucks built up their huge lead. That's how they won games 3 and 4. And for some reason, they went away from that in the second half. And then defensively, to not even try Giannis on Kevin Durant. I mean, you've got the reigning defensive player of the year, one of the best defenders in the world, to not even try him on KD was a joke. Yeah. I don't know how you explain that if you're Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of the criticism probably rolls with him, not only how they played him, but who they played him with, and that was surprising. This is another choke job for them. They've had everything set in front of them with no Harden, and you're going and then you look at Kyrie out, and you're thinking, okay, well, this should be set up for you. And honestly, it should have been set up for them going all the way back. Well, heck, they're down, what, 2-0, and it felt like they're only in this series because of who the Nets didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, it felt like this was you're going to go up 3-2 because who you don't have. And they got in their own way. That's the reality.
Yeah. When Giannis was asked in the postgame, he did call Kevin Durant the best player in the world, of course. So I think everybody's echoing that very same sentiment after that performance. He said in regards to defending Kevin Durant, quote, "I want to take the challenge, and if coach wants me to do that, I'm ready for that."
Mm.
A lot of people are criticizing Giannis for not calling out his coach.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, deciding, hey, you know what? I am going to decide to usurp your authority. I'm going to take him. Sorry, deal with it. I mean, whatever you want to do, coach, I'm taking him. He's the hot guy. I'm the defensive player of the year. I'm arguably the best defensive player in the game. I want to show everybody exactly how good I am. He's the best player on the planet right now at this time. Let me go defend him.
Dude. So you mean calling him out during the game in that postgame and saying, I'm going to say, in the game.
Yeah. He should have stepped up and probably made that move, make the executive decision.
I mean,
I know that sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't.
But
when you're that good, you should do stuff
Draymond
like that.
Draymond Green said that, you know, he said after this that he would have did the same thing. He said that if Steve Kerr didn't make the adjustment, then he would have made the adjustment.
Yeah. I remember watching The Last Dance last year, and Michael Jordan would do that,
yep.
Right? I mean, if another team's best player was torturing one of Michael Jordan's Bulls teammates, MJ would go to Phil Jackson and say, let me take him.
Right.
Let me guard him. Like, when you're as good as Giannis is, we're talking about a two-time MVP, we're talking about the reigning defensive player of the year. When you're that good, you've got to be confident enough to go up to your coach and say, let me guard this guy.
Yep.
This is my team. We got to stop this guy. This guy by himself is torturing us right now. We have to do something about this. Let me take him. So Giannis, that was cowardice after the game by him. I lost a lot of respect for him. Now, yeah, you criticize the coach too. I'm not letting Bud off the hook by any stretch of the imagination because he's paid millions of dollars to make decisions to help his team win. And he did not make decisions to help his team win last night. And once again, we're talking about a perennial theme for the Milwaukee Bucks coming up short in the postseason. And I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of coaching success that Mike Budenholzer has had this time of the year. But that's bad from Giannis. And also, I thought it was weak after the game saying Kevin Durant's the best player in the world.
Really?
Not saying he's wrong by that, but, man, you're just praising that guy? You're heaping praise on that dude after he just single-handedly beat you and damn near and maybe cost you a shot at the NBA title? And you're going to start loving on that dude?
What do you want him to say?
That's bad. Nothing. Just don't say anything like that. Just say, he beat us tonight. Yeah. We got to do something to stop that guy. Don't say he's the best player in the world and heap all this love and praise on this dude after he just kicked your ass and embarrassed you. I would not do stuff like that.
Yeah,
so Giannis, soft. Both of those quotes that you gave, Rod, for me, soft from him. He's got to be better if he's one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. No, I don't know what Milwaukee does at this point. I would think at this point you think about not blowing it up, but at least rebuilding around Giannis. And then you have to question whether Giannis is the superstar to take you to the next level. Everybody agrees he's got all the raw materials. But the truth is, he's come up short the last couple of years, and it's him coming up short, but it's also Budenholzer, because this is the same exact thing. If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Exact same thing happened when they played the Bucks. Sorry, when the Bucks played the Raptors 2 years ago, when Kawhi Leonard was going off, and they couldn't find a way to stop Kawhi, and they would not put Giannis on Kawhi. And Giannis is a different type of defender. He's not a shutdown defender. He's not Kawhi Leonard, I guess is the reason. He's more of a help defender. He's more of a team defender than anything, right? And so maybe they just see that he doesn't match up well in the ISO one-on-one world of Kevin Durant. I'm not saying he would have done much to stop Kevin Durant that last night, but he could have at least, been up to the challenge to see. I mean, he was their best option.
It would have been better.
He was their best option to defend him. Not saying he would have been able to stop him, but their best option. And they didn't even utilize their best option at the time.
That's it right there. I mean, there's no guarantee it would have worked at all. And the way KD was playing last night, you could have put three Giannises on him, and I'm not sure he's missing anything. But you had to try something new.
Yeah.
I mean, poor P.J. Tucker. Look, P.J. Tucker's one of the better 3-and-D guys of this generation of basketball, but he had nothing for KD last night. So you just have to switch it up. If you're the coach, you got to switch it up. And if you're the player and you know how good you are defensively, even if that not necessarily is your area of expertise on that side of the floor, you've got to be like, coach, we got to try something new.
Yeah, and PJ would have been better 15 years ago against Durant, but with the length and the reach that Durant has, there's nothing he can do. And we've really seen that all series long where Durant's actually frustrated him. They've gone back and forth a little bit. Tucker's not the answer. Giannis is. I understand if you're trying to balance maybe – certain possessions to keep him fresh, to keep his offense where it needs to be. I get it, but there's no doubt he would have been the best option. They got to be kicking themselves today because I think they lost this series and it's on them.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks still have a chance.
They do.
Because
we don't know who's going to be helping.
Right, we don't know if Kyrie's going to play the rest
of the way. The story of this
series. We don't know if James Harden is going to be effective the rest of the way.
Is this a five-game series if all three play and are healthy with the Nets?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I think too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Nets lose to anybody if all three of those guys stay healthy. All three of us picked them to win the NBA title before the playoffs started, and it's because, well, they've got three of the top 10 players in the world. But the one thing that can beat the Nets this year is injuries. And speaking of injuries, guys, boy, the NBA postseason has been infiltrated by injuries. Yep. That's become the number one storyline for the playoffs so far, and it's unfortunate, man. I mean, it really is. But the NBA postseason has become a war of attrition right now. And Kawhi Leonard, who has been spectacular for the L.A. Clippers to this point, is not going to play tonight for the Clippers, and he might not be a part of the Clippers' postseason run the rest of the way. He's dealing with an ACL injury. We don't know the exact severity of it. We don't know the exact timetable of return for Kawhi Leonard, but he's going to be out for tonight. And Chris Paul apparently has entered the league's COVID protocol. So the Suns aren't playing. They already swept Denver, but CP3 might not be good to go for the start of the Western Conference Finals. Guys, injuries and COVID galore throughout this postseason. How about this? 8 All-Stars have missed at least one game in these playoffs, which is an NBA record.
Wow.
And if Chris Paul misses a game in the next round, that's going to be 9 All-Stars missing at least one game in this postseason. So it sucks, man. It feels like the NHL playoffs right now because the hockey playoffs are all about a war of attrition because dudes get hurt all the time. Not used to seeing this in basketball, but it has marred what has been a pretty spectacular postseason.
Yeah, and especially the way, I mean, you build teams, you obviously want depth, but it's more about trying to build your main nucleus, right? And if that nucleus, if a couple guys or one guy is out, all of a sudden it throws off everything, and we're kind of seeing that now. I mean, I've said I actually wanted Phoenix to be in there. I don't think it's the best ratings draw for the NBA, but I don't care about that. I care about what my eyes see, and I wanted to see the Nets and Phoenix. And I think we're going to go that direction. But also, you know, we kind of forget about how good Chris Paul has been for them. And he's a pace guy, BK. But this guy has with a guy like Booker and a younger team, so to speak, this guy has been huge for them. And also has kind of not resurrected his career, but after Houston, I think has given it a little bit different narrative.
Yeah, agreed 100%. And he can really change the narrative if he wins a title this year, right? That's the one thing that CP3 doesn't have. Rod, I'm not a big asterisk guy. And you sure as heck don't put an asterisk by a title run because guys on other teams get injured. But, man, I mean, the Lakers weren't full go. The Nets aren't full go. Now the Clippers might be without their best player. Just injuries all over the place. And it just it might feel like the healthiest team is going to win this thing. And I'm sure there are going to be some doubters. Whoever lifts the Larry O'Brien trophy, there are going to be some people saying, yeah, but it sucks that injuries have just marred this postseason the way they have.
Yeah, obviously more so than other postseasons, but that's always the case. Whether you're talking about the NFL or the NBA, when the Toronto Raptors won it, they were the healthiest team left in the playoffs. And most of that was because KD got hurt, right? And the Warriors had their injuries. And you're seeing it again this year. I think a lot of it's because of the COVID offseason. It was the shortest offseason the NBA's ever had, and it was a very irregular, unorthodox offseason just because of COVID and all different protocols. So I'm sure that has a little bit to do with it, but this is usually the case, guys, in all sports. If you can stay healthy, whether it be because your training staff is top-notch or whether it be because the way you load management, right? Wasn't that the big thing in the NBA for years now? Load management.
Rest, rust.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, trying to make sure your superstars peak at the right time. Always been the case, definitely exacerbated there by their most recent offseason.
Absolutely. Can the Clippers still beat the Jazz if Kawhi Leonard doesn't play? Or is this series over?
No, it's over with.
Paul George is not that kind of player.
It's over with.
What about the Suns? Can the Suns beat the Jazz Clippers winner if Chris Paul misses a couple of games?
They got a shot because they're deep.
Yep.
They go 8-9 deep. It's because of the depth they do have a shot to do it.
But with Paul, that's a different team.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens. Two games tonight, two game fives tonight. Atlanta at Philly, that's a 2-2 series right now. And then the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard in Salt Lake taking on the Utah Jazz. We'll take your thoughts. The Specs text line 337-3776. I think we're operating on Twitch. We are operating on Twitch. So even though we're on the road, you could still watch the show. Is that the Twitch camera right there? Or are you just taking pictures of me, Trevor?
I think you're just taking pictures.
Video.
Okay. Video of me.
What an old man. Yeah.
Are you taking pictures? Is that a Polaroid?
That's a camera.
Yeah.
There's no red light or anything
like
that.
Make sure you shake it when it comes out.
Okay. I don't know what's happening here. I do know we're at Total Men's Primary Care in Killeen. Come out and see us. The address, 2611 Tremere Road. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. We've got Rangers swag to give away. We've got koozies. We've got stickers. Just come out and see the fine folks at Total Men's Primary Care. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we return, we got to talk some Longhorn basketball. Chris Beard has done it again. He's added another piece from the transfer portal, and it's a big one. We'll give you the details up next.
Roll up in the club. All eyes on me. All eyes on me.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We are looking live from the brand spanking new location of Total Men's Primary Care right here in Killeen. It's fantastic, actually. They got some of my favorite chips up here, too.
The snacks are incredible.
I was going to say, the snack bar is off the chain here.
I actually just come here to get snacks, then I leave.
Yeah. I love this.
I get some weird looks from the people here, but
You can't even get those Miss Vicky's chips everywhere, man. Those are top notch.
They got a plug here. I don't know who the plug is, but they got a snack and drink plug.
That's
you know what the most underrated snack is up there, though?
Okay. What's that?
Drew is taking care of some right now. The good old-fashioned Cheez-Its.
Oh, man, please.
Cheez-Its are underrated. We've talked about Cheez-Its and Goldfish before, Rod. Cheez-Its are, and you get a little salt on there.
How are they underrated?
A little sea salt.
I mean, really?
They're underrated because
who's hating on Cheez-Its?
Because of the reaction you just gave. That's why.
I didn't know anybody was passionate about Cheez-Its.
Yeah. I feel like Cheez-Its are rated pretty highly.
It looks like they have them up there.
They obviously haven't been with Rod. I don't see Cheez-Its enough. I'm just saying that.
Okay. Wow.
You want to see more Cheez-Its out there.
I see them right now, right next to some planters.
Not a nuts guy?
Well, all about it.
You're a nut guy.
I need it.
Yeah.
Okay, don't give him those softballs.
Yeah, just thank you.
Lofting them up there for him to, yeah.
Had to be done.
It's too easy.
I'd hammer down everything up there. And you got Gatorade here, too. So.
Yeah, my friends at Total Men are taking care of us. So we are here looking live. I'm sure we got listeners there in the area if you come on by.
Yep.
We got koozies out here. You also probably need a checkup. I'm 40 years old. I probably need to go to Total Men's and make a reservation. They got some in the Austin area. They're expanding every day. So look up the Total Men's Primary Care near you. I'm sure there's one coming soon. All right, let's talk about Texas basketball, gentlemen. Big news for Chris Beard yesterday. We talked about it at the end of the show yesterday. Trey Mitchell, a transfer from UMass, has decided that he also is going to join the Longhorns. So I read actually CBS Sports were doing their most impactful transfers of the college basketball season for the 2021 season, and they said Texas now has five of their top 85. They have number 6 on their list with Timmy Allen, number 9, Trey Mitchell, number 19, Dylan Dessou, number 31, Christian Bishop, and number 84, Devin Askew. You're talking about remaking a roster and reinventing a roster. That essentially is what Chris Beard has done overnight. And not only that, he's upgraded the roster, gentlemen, in his first season. Through the transfer portal.
Yeah, and, you know, he said right away when he came in, he said this is not going to be a rebuilding job, and I mean from day one. And I took that as that's awesome, but, I mean, what kind of Jimmy and Joes are you going to have? We, as a fan base, will give you some time understanding that you're taking over a roster that's probably going to be depleted, and it goes to show you how connected he is and also how much people really want to play for him. I mean, BK, I kind of thought they were going to be done a guy or two ago because – I understood if you're transferring, we've said people either want to transfer because they want to go party and not play. Well, you don't want those guys. Or they want to transfer to a place that they're really going to play and help out their future pro prospects and make sure they get time. This is going to be a deep team.
Absolutely. And all of these guys transferring to Texas will get time, especially Trey Mitchell. This dude is an absolute stud, and I expect him to be a starter on this team next season, assuming Jericho Sims does not come back. But it's funny, guys. Last year, we talked about how Texas had one of the deepest and most talented and most experienced rosters in college basketball. And it took Shaka Smart 6 years to build that roster. And it's taken Chris Beard one offseason to build a roster that's arguably more talented and more experienced than last year's bunch. It's unbelievable. And I remember during the year last season, we kept saying, well, Texas better win now because they're going to lose just about everybody. After this year, a lot of seniors on the team, a couple of one-and-done guys on the team. You figured there was going to be a massive roster turnover for Texas from last season to this coming season. And sure enough, there was. We weren't confident about what this team could be when Shaka Smart was the coach. Now that Chris Beard's here, he said it from day one. He wants to compete early. He wants to compete this season. He said, don't put an asterisk by your one for me. I want to win, and I want to win right now. And he's absolutely backed it up by getting, as you mentioned, Rod, some of the biggest name transfers out there. There are so many reasons for optimism for this Texas basketball program. They've got a shot to be very, very good, very, very early under Coach Beard.
So the article you're referencing, and I've been looking at that, they've been updating that the last couple of weeks, and Timmy Allen is number 6 overall, right?
Yeah, that's what it had in the article.
He's the Utah transfer. I'm just curious how all these pieces are going to fit together, and I do think they're going to be able, Rod, to run this 8-9 deep and get those guys enough time. But that's a 6'6 forward who has pretty good vision. He's just got to get the outside shot going a little bit more.
Yep.
And that's the other thing, too, is that I'm sure Beard sold these guys on, look, this is why the NBA is questioning you, right? And this is what we can do to improve that and to highlight that, to showcase that, to make sure you are good to go at your next level.
No, it's going to be, I'm with you, how all these parts fit together, really talented parts fit together is going to be interesting. But that's what he does, right? The beauty of having Chris Beard here now at this specific time in college basketball is that the transfer portal has taken over with the new transfer rule that you can transfer at least one time without penalty. That has encouraged players to transfer even more to try to find more opportunistic situations for themselves. Also, you're looking at, you know, what Chris Beard has done at Texas Tech. Tech and what he has done prior in his career with transfers is actually his preferred method of roster building is through transfers. It was harder before. Now it's easier than ever before because now you have the more robust transfer portal than ever. And I think for a guy like Chris Beard, you know, he's ahead of the game now. Everybody else is adjusting to this new landscape of college basketball. This has actually been his sweet spot.
Yep.
Finding guys through the transfer portal. And to BK's point about the experience, Jerry Hamilton threw this stat out there. It's really great. Now, if you look at all the guys they have on this roster with the guys coming back that he inherits from last year's team and the new transfer portals, there are 460 starts now total on this current roster. 705 games played between this group. It's got tons of experience, and that's what Chris Beard wants. He says, like you said, he wanted expectations. There is no rebuilding. There is no start slow and keep the expectations to a minimum. He wants the expectations sky high. He's expecting to compete for championships immediately.
Yeah.
10 weeks. All this has happened in 10 weeks.
How about that?
Yeah. So think about whenever he gets this thing going and he's got time. BK has an S-eating grin.
Oh, man.
There's no other way to describe it. You are glowing right now.
I can't not smile when we talk about Texas basketball. First of all, the fact that we're allowed to talk Texas basketball in June is amazing to me because as long as I've been in Austin, I've known not to talk about this because people don't want to hear about Texas basketball. It's, hey, talk about football or, hey, talk about basketball. Give us something else. We don't want to hear about basketball until basketball season. And even during basketball season, there have been times during my Austin career where people are like, stop talking about basketball. Everybody wants to talk about basketball now. Like, no one's getting mad at us for talking about basketball. And it's great because y'all know how much I love college basketball. Y'all know how much I love Texas hoops. And you guys are big Texas hoops fans too, of course. But it's just – I'm so excited, man. I can't talk about this team without smiling.
Yeah.
Or with – yeah, did I say that right?
Without smiling.
Yeah. I'm starstruck. I can't even speak.
You can't even talk straight.
Oh, man.
I grew up trying to convince – Texas fans my age how, you know, to get into basketball, to treat it as seriously as we treat Texas football and Texas baseball. And, you know, I understood, I mean, obviously the age and the time has changed, but I understood people the last couple of years that were down on it and just didn't want to get into it because they didn't believe in the coach, they didn't believe in the program, and every time they would get into it, what would happen? They'd be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Remember, there'd be that big game, and they actually get the drum somewhat full and people, you know, they lay an egg. And I look, this team's not going to be perfect, obviously, but to go with his defensive mentality and the toughness that he teaches and preaches, I think they've got enough offensive guys that scoring is not going to be an issue. It shouldn't be an issue. And BK, that is the one criticism, fair criticism we have with Beard. The Tech fans will certainly tell you right now.
Sure, but the talent Chris Beard is going to have at Texas is going to be better than the talent Chris Beard had in Lubbock.
Right, and he got to a final.
And he got to a national championship game. He got to overtime in a national championship game in his third season in Lubbock. Man, when Texas hired Chris Beard, I knew there was reason for optimism early because, well, he led Texas Tech to the Elite Eight in year two. He led Texas Tech to the national title game in year three. So you figured, all right, if he can do that in Lubbock, then he could find a way to do that in Austin. But, man, I didn't think it happened this quick. In the span of less than 3 months, like you said, KD. And Jeff Goodman of Stadium, who's one of the most well-respected college basketball writers in the country.
His pants are bulging more than yours right now about this program.
He was actually on with Bucky and Aaron this morning. If you missed that interview, check it out, hornfm.com. It was really good. But he updated his way-too-early top 25 rankings for next college basketball season. Guys, he is Texas at number 3.
Wow.
So it's not just people in Austin. It's not just Longhorn Nation who is excited about this Texas basketball team in year one of Chris Beard. It's national writers who are excited and who believe that this team is a threat to make a deep tournament run this coming season.
Yeah, it's the perfect combination of things, right? Chris Beard he's a self-starter, but he's also one of those guys that's had instant success, immediate success when he's gone to places, specifically, you know, most recently at Tech, and a lot of that's been because of his approach to the transfer portal. Now the transfer portal is, more, like I said, it's more robust than it's ever been. It's more full of talent, more plentiful of talent than it's ever been. So now he can take advantage of that. I think he will, and I think he already has here at Texas. A college basketball insider, ESPN, Jeff Barzello. He said Texas has five of his top 30 transfers already on his roster, which, I mean, that's absurd. I would like to see if anybody's been as successful at recruiting transfers in recent years as Chris Beard's proven to be here at Texas. And then we know at Tech, going back there, at least, you know, two of his top seven scores in four of his 5 years at Tech were transfers. He knows how to get the most out of those guys. And if you're worried about offense, you know, I don't know if you need to be. Seven of the players that he's bringing on to this new roster averaged 15 points last season. So to your point, KD, you got the defensive mentality in the culture that Chris Beard's going to bring in naturally, the toughness that's just a part of his DNA. But then you got guys who can just score, who can create on their own, who can actually do have different skill sets offensively that he can utilize. So I'm not really worried about the offense. I think it may be the perfect combination of things here for Texas to compete right away.
I think it's going to be more like his first year at Little Rock, where that program was 13-18 when he took it over, and he ends up going 30-5. And then second year Elite Eight at Tech, and that third year was a national championship, right?
Yep.
I mean, he turns it around quickly. All the pieces are there for them to turn this around quickly. I think it's going to be a fun year for Texas basketball.
I think so, too. Can't wait. And by the way, I don't think Chris Beard is done. I think he has another transfer or two in him before this offseason is over.
All right, who are you? Because I saw that on Twitter. It was Goodman or someone like that, Parrish. Do you have any guesses on who that would be?
I'll dig.
Okay.
I mean, they're looking at guards. They're looking at a point guard. And if there is a question, you could talk about offense because that's sort of the Chris Beard question. But in terms of personnel on this Texas roster, if there is a question, it's a point guard. You lose Matt Coleman, who was a four-year starter there. And Devin Askew, a former five-star recruit, you're excited about his potential, but he did not have a great freshman season at Kentucky. So you'd like to bolster up your backcourt a little bit, maybe add some more depth on the wing as well. But there are still some scholarships open for Chris Beard to work with. And by the way, Jace Febres will not count against this team's scholarship limit because he's a COVID super senior.
Yep.
And if Jericho Sims decides to come back, he won't count against this team's scholarship limit because he is a COVID super senior. So there are still some spots left to be filled for Chris Beard. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I think he's going to take his time. He's not going to rush here. He's going to take his time and make sure he can find the players to best fill out this roster. Trey Mitchell is absolutely one of those dudes, and I think there are a couple of names that he could be looking at before this thing is all set.
With Jericho Sims, along with Kai Jones at the Combine, we assume that that's done, right? That's why. And this Trey Mitchell.
So Trey Mitchell,
acquisition and him going to the Combine, we assume that means that Jericho Sims' experiment, or at least him waiting for him, is done.
Mm-hmm. We've said that for a while, that Jericho Sims is more than likely gone. Yeah. Still nothing official. He still has time to decide to come back to UT. But it feels like the writing's on the wall that he's probably gone. And, yeah, getting Trey Mitchell in, who's a big man, who plays a similar type of role to a Jericho Sims, is huge. Just in case he is gone, you've got a guy to step in and replace him.
How much does Mitchell stretch? And I mean before the game. Does he stretch? Does he hydrate?
Yeah.
I want to know things.
All the time. He's the first guy out there,
like,
and he doesn't shoot at all. No layup lines.
Nothing.
Nothing. He just is stretching.
As a stretch big man.
Not a ton.
Okay.
I mean, he'll give you one to two made threes a game. And he's worked on his three-point jumper. He can give you some mid-range, too. But he's more of an old-school, back-to-the-basket type of big.
Love it.
He was top 10 in the country in points per game out of post-ups last year.
Okay.
So he's the type of guy, you throw him the ball in the low block and let him go to work. There's 2 points. If you don't want to run offense on a possession, give Trey Mitchell the ball. Let him operate.
Old man moves.
You're going to be all right. Yeah, he can go both ways. Quick feet. Good player. Good get for Texas. So we'll talk more about Trey Mitchell and what he brings to the table, and we'll talk more Texas basketball as we move along here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We are live at Total Men's Primary Care, 2611 Tremere Road in Killeen. Come out and see us. We've got koozies. We've got stickers. We've got some Rangers gear as well. We've also got some fantastic people here at Total Men's Primary Care. If you need a rapid COVID test, if you need an annual physical, come out to Total Men's, either this location or one of the many Total Men's Primary Care spots all throughout Central Texas. There's guaranteed to be one near you. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, our countdown to Texas football continues. 80 days away from the Longhorns and the Ragin' Cajuns, we talk about the best Longhorns to ever wear the number 80 up next.
Welcome back. celebrating Tupac, as we should. No one better than Tupac. Know what I'm listening to on the way home. We're at Total Men's in Killeen. Having a good time.
Yeah,
here.
Man.
Yeah, we got a lot of, we already had some fans come by, and it's just fun shooting it with them and talking ball in between the breaks.
Shout out to Kevin.
Kevin.
D-line coach at Rouse. Shout out to the Raiders.
So this is great. Kevin looks like a defensive lineman. I mean, he is a big cat, right?
Yeah.
And he does some coaching. And Rod and he said,
Out of respect, I asked the man what he coached.
Yeah.
He said
defense. And then he's like, well, what on defense? And Kevin looks at Rod. He said, look at me, man. I coach a defensive line. I don't coach cornerback.
But turns out, what did Kevin play when he played ball in college?
Linebacker.
Boom. Yep. See? I'm just scouting, man. I was like, oh, back in our day, you could be his size and play linebacker. Now you can't.
Right.
Now you look like DeMarvion Overshell. Like 200 pounds. Yeah, remember? Back in the day, you had some girth to play linebacker, man. No, not anymore.
Linebacker position has changed.
Yeah, shout out to Kevin.
We are 80 days away from Texas and Louisiana, that home opener. We're excited, really excited about that. And we'll continue, obviously, all summer long to give you different angles on college football and what Texas is doing. But 80 days away, guys, the best 80 to wear the Texas uniform. I'll give you one guy who is a big cat that if you would have seen him, you wouldn't have thought he played this position. And it was huge when Texas got him out of the D.C. area. You know, the first time a real passing game came to Austin was John McAvick being hired. And he gets Shea Morenz, which was gigantic. And then he got Mike Adams, who we talked about at number 83, and Lavelle Pinckney. When Lavelle came here, I got Drew giving me a look right now like, yep, that was the guy. He was 6'5", 240, and could fly. Put a little bit more weight on as the time went on and maybe didn't fly as much, but Lavelle Pinckney was a true freak. I'll tell you this
right
now. So
the wide receiving core was Mike Adams and Lavelle Pinckney?
And Lavelle Pinckney, Justin McLemore probably would have been at some point in there. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, shout out.
Eric Jackson, Curtis Jackson.
We brought up Mike Adams the other day, and I said he was the OC, but he's the OC for Manor, I believe.
Okay. Yeah,
so I want to throw it out there. I think I forgot to mention
You say Curtis Jackson?
Curtis Jackson.
50 Cent?
Not that Curtis Jackson. Okay.
Different Curtis Jackson.
I was going to say, Curtis, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. We need to brag about that a little bit more if we trust me, on our team back.
He's not a Longhorn, Curtis Jackson.
If this Curtis Jackson ever threw out the first pitch at the dish, it'd be a look a lot better than 50 Cent's first pitch.
Oh, well done.
Which is one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's how you know 50 Cent never played any sport at all.
No.
Yeah.
I think he stepped with the wrong leg.
Yeah. 50 Cent, he's just as bad of an actor as he is a baseball thrower. I avoid 50 Cent movies to get all together.
Now
usually.
A Texan, though. Because he had the great line about taxes.
Living in H-Town
in Jersey,
now.
He said, but I don't want to be 20 Cent.
Shut up.
He's going to keep it at 50 Cent.
And now he's hitting every strip club in the state of Texas.
Oh, because he's got still some money this
No, pay. He does appearances there because he needs more
paid.
Money.
Yeah, he gets paid to
he's
go
not,
there.
Oh, he's not making it rain. He's showing up like, hey, coming this week at Bellagio. It's 50 Cent. And it's like, man, really?
And he doesn't rap. Anymore.
No,
he just.
I think he's
appears.
Just there. Yeah.
Oh, and then he actually every now and then likes to troll Ja Rule. He loves trolling Ja Rule. That's like his second priority in his life. Oh, it's great.
I'm good with that.
It's great.
Although
it's great.
I liked Ja Rule back in the day. All right.
Everybody did. That's why we're ashamed.
I know.
It took 50 Cent to let everybody know to be ashamed of Ja Rule, who was trying to dress and act like Pac for a while.
Yeah.
And he was making like gangster love songs with J Lo and. Oh, it was just a strange
I ran
time.
Into Ja Rule at the VMAs.
You ran into Ja Rule? Yeah. That's when he was cool.
He was cool. That is one small little guy.
Exactly. Like, that's why 50 was like, this dude?
I wanted to
pick, this dude is ruling hip-hop right now?
Pick him up, put him in my pocket, or hold him. I was like, you're so cute.
DMX is tiny, too, but at least was. But nobody treated DMX like that.
No.
No,
I wouldn't have said that. I didn't say it to Ja Rule, but I wouldn't have said that to DMX.
Nobody called him a wankster, that's for sure.
All right, anyway. Other 80s, Tim Crowder is another one I'll throw out there. Tim Crowder was a damn good player.
Nuclear athletes. He actually is training NFL guys and training high school athletes, college athletes now. Doing a really good job. Nuclear athletes.
Yeah, All-American in 06. You've got Alex Okafor.
Yeah.
Who was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in 2012. Still in the league.
Yep.
Pflugerville
zone.
P-ville.
Alex
Shout
Okafor.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Boskies.
Boskies and Cheese. Remember the Wood. Shout out, baby.
Give us some members of the Wood again.
Boskies, Montrell Flowers, myself, Chris Sims, and Kyle Shanahan.
Not a bad little list right there.
Not bad. It's the crew.
Going on to do some good things, too.
That's fam.
You've got Malcolm Kuttner, who was an All-American end in the 40s. I think everybody played end or guard in the 40s.
Yeah.
And that just,
and they all had that number.
That just qualified as like every position on the field. So you have ends who would catch balls, who would have
back.
Carries.
They would have back.
Oh, back is
back.
The third
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right. Like back. It's like, that could be defense or he's a back.
It's
back.
End, guard, or back.
Yeah.
What side of the ball? I'm not sure. You're just one of the three. So Malcolm Kuttner, an All-American in the 40s. Dwight Jefferson donned the number 80 as well. You've had some pretty good lifetime Longhorns rock that number before.
No, I agree with that.
Currently, the man who dons the number 80 is Cade Brewer. Mm-hmm. Guys, expectations. KD, I'll send it your way first. Super senior, his fifth year on campus, taking advantage of the COVID eligibility. Your thoughts on Cade Brewer, who's kind of been a staple of the Texas starting lineup for the last couple of years. Do you think he can elevate his game in 2021?
Great example. I'm sure Coach Kevin has seen this before. Adding weight doesn't necessarily make you a better blocker. And he was not going to be manhandling guys anyway with 20 more pounds on him, especially if he's on the in line and he's dealing with a defensive end or a big-ass linebacker. What we saw in the spring game I hope really translates. He lost that weight, and he started getting to really his leverage point quicker, which is how he's going to do this. So he loses weight, looks like a better blocker. I don't expect him to be dynamic as a receiver. I expect him to be, as a blocker and a receiver, reliable this year. I want him to be Mr. Consistency and then play around that with guys that have a better skill set receiving the football.
Yeah, I'd like him to develop an elite trait or an elite skill. Usually when we have those eight, we don't have a five-tool tight end. It's really tough to find, right? The last one we had was Jermichael Finley. Shout out to Bo Scaife before that, him and David Thomas. But you need an elite trait, right? Andrew Beck was an elite blocker, still in the league as a result of it.
Jeff Swain.
Mm-hmm. It's another example of it, too. So I think for him, he's gotten on the field because he's good at a lot of things, but not great at any one thing.
Yep.
But now with guys like Jatavion Sanders in that room, Jared Wiley, everybody's expecting him to have more of a breakout campaign. You have some players in that room now that I think may be able to offer an elite trait that Sark can weaponize. And I don't know if Cade has that. I'm not saying he's going to get overlooked or anything, but I'm looking this offseason for him to develop something like that.
That's why I'm just saying Mr. Reliable, because I'm not sure he can do that. So you don't need to be the biggest blocker. You don't need to be Eric Green, to give you an old school name, of pretty much just a tackle who could blow people away. Just be reliable there. And, I mean, BK, is he ever going to be dynamic as a receiver?
No.
Okay.
No.
So catch the football, run your routes, and be Mr. Consistent.
I don't know how much he's going to see the field if he's not dynamic as a receiver or if he doesn't develop the elite trait that Rod's talking about. Like, he's more of a Tom Herman guy to me. And Sark has spoken about it, and he's also shown it in the past. He has the propensity to put his best 11 on the field. And if Cade Brewer is not
one
of those guys.
That's a novel concept.
I know. And if Cade Brewer is not one of those guys, then he's not going to see the field that much, guys. So I think he has to evolve. His game has to take a step. Otherwise, he's going to get lost in the shuffle with Jatavion Sanders and Jared Wiley at tight end. And if neither of those guys are that good, then I wouldn't be surprised.
Sets.
Yeah, if Sark goes more two-back sets or goes more four wide receiver sets and just doesn't have a tight end on the field at all. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, when we're talking two-back sets, we're talking 20 personnel.
Right.
20.
So we're talking three receivers, and you may get that shotgun split back that McAmick used to run that every time it's on LHN.
I love it.
Rod, I got to eat. It's like, I'm thankfully, you keep your pants on most of the time.
But
you love that set.
It was my favorite set when I played like college football back in the day.
Yeah.
That was my
That's still what I run.
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic.
And Lincoln Riley's starting to run some of that stuff, too, in Norman, which is scary.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what's fun about that is if you do get one of those freaks, if Sanders is that guy, you can really mess with people.
Oh, yeah.
And you come out with 20 personnel, so you flex them out. Mm-hmm. Then you bring him on the line and just shift him back in. And then you're running different stuff as long as you got someone to have that freakish trait of I'm that good of a blocker and that good of a receiver.
They have to account for it.
They got to account for that.
80 days away from Texas Longhorn football. Of course, we are your home for the Longhorns. We'll have every UT football game right here on the Horn. Right now, you're listening to the Triple Option with RBKD, and we are live at Total Men's Primary Care, 2611 Tremere Road in Killeen.